This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2020, held in Belleville, Pennsylvania on March 6 and 7.
Okay, well, good morning and welcome here. I'm going to sit part of the time, hope that's okay. If you can't hear me, raise your hand along the way so that I'll try to project. I'm recovering, so I'm sorry, I really am. And from here, there will be Jonas and Anthony. Jonas will be this afternoon, and Anthony tomorrow. We'll talk about that after lunch, about which session is which.
Daryl, not that that matters, but it is actually a switch.
Is it switch back again?
It'll be.
Oh, no, that's right, yes. I went through too many conversations. That's what it is. You're this afternoon.
Okay.
Thank you. Anthony's this afternoon, and then Jonas tomorrow. That is right. That was the final word. Thank you. I can blame everything on having been on my back, right? So I did try to frame what I'm doing in that general session a little bit ago. I took some time just to try to give some rationale. So I'm not going to try to repeat myself too much. But there are some things I want to emphasize, and today I'm going to take a little different approach than I do sometimes, and I have some things to give you. I'm going to give you samples of about 5 job descriptions of all sorts. I want to just show you some, we'll get pretty practical with some of that. I also want to give you a worksheet that can help you think about different areas of school that can help us consider what we ought to be doing. Okay? So it's going to be more of a more discussion, more question, and for those who want the recording, I'm sorry, it's not going to be the greatest for that. That's just telling you right out of the gate, okay? Because I'd like for us to talk together about what we are facing and some of the challenges and specifics. And I've got some FAQs that we'll talk about. We'll give you a chance then to offer your own FAQs. Okay, the FAQ section at the end of every website, right? We're gonna go there, okay? Is my goal. Now, is that clock correct? It is, okay. But I will not worry about that. I'd like to ask a couple questions. How many of you are principals? Okay, so pretty good. And just give me, how many of you are board members? Okay, so we're about 32-thirds. All right, and how many of you principals have a job description? How many of you are principals? Raise it high. How many of you are principals? Now keep your hand up if you don't have a job description. Okay? So, and some of you are ishing.
One doesn't mean you go by it.
How's that?
Having one doesn't mean you go by it.
Oh, we're going to talk about that one too. How many of you that have a job description have had it reviewed in the last year? Praise the Lord. 2 years. In the last 2 years. Good. 5 years. Okay? Never. Yeah. How many of you that have a job description actually know what's written on it? How many of you have read your job description in the last year, if you have one? Y'all are ishing me. I don't know what to do about that. Sort of it. That's that word that doesn't make any sense to me. People use it, right? It's ish. It's half ish. You know, it's ish. Everything's ish. Sort of, but not quite. Well, I'd like for us to really to hone in on some things here. I'm not going to stay sort of, big picture and philosophical. I think that it's fairly self-evident that we need to know what our job is. Okay? And I already made the case that in business we do this all the time. You don't hire a manager in your produce farm without telling him what his job actually is, what you expect him to do and not to do, what comes to you as the business owner and what resides with the manager. You just do that, right? I just had a businessman tell me yesterday, he said, I've realized that written processes are the only way my business will survive. He's an auto mechanic. And to give good customer care and to do these things in terms of billing, in terms of how they approach every vehicle comes through, they have written processes. Without that, it's too uneven. And I don't get the same results. And I'm going to argue that school is no different. That we have to have some written processes. We have to have a mutual understanding. And so let me just speak now as a principal, and I'm not a board member. So board members, you may take me to task for this thing. You have my permission. It won't take much to flatten me, so you can go ahead and do it. I may have woozy anyway. A principal tends to have a fair number of responsibilities and not enough time to do them. Okay? Now, that's true of a principal, but it's also true of the business owner. It's also true of the church leader. It's true of every other industry out there. Can we just say it that way? In other words, principals, here's the thing. I don't think it's going to, if I could just speak candidly to you, it's not going to help to complain and cry about your load. That actually undercuts what you actually hope for, which is a reasonable workload so that you actually have a life and can take care of your family if you're married, and et cetera, right? So what I find is that it's easier for us to get together and complain about things rather than saying, well, what is my job and how could this be adjusted in order to make it work? So it's win-win for everybody. And it's from that approach that I'm coming today. I'm asking us, instead of complaining about our load, which most of us, frankly, could. Board members, I'm going to tell you something. It is more work than you think it is to be a principal of a school. There's a lot going on. And a lot that you never actually hear about because we just do it. And that's fun. That's part of putting on our big boy pants. Sucking it up and doing what needs to happen. But there are a lot of pieces that can simultaneously happen. Okay, so in one day last week, I've got a student who, he missed 5 days of school, long story. 5 days of school, that's a week's worth of school. And the problem was that he was exhausted because his grandma had died. Frankly, it was not about the grandma dying, it's about the dysfunction of the home. So, but he couldn't come to school for like 2 days because he was overwhelmed and with grief, mother said. His sister said, he's being bullheaded and stubborn, which was more accurate from what we know. So I've got that situation, we're making phone calls, we're trying to figure out what's going on, what's going to take to get this boy back, because now we missed a week of school. I'm trying to help teachers think about what he should be asked to redo and what not to do. At the very same time, we have children getting sick, calling parents, sending them home, right? We have, at the very same time, we have numerous other crises in the school. It all happens within about 3 hours. And, you wonder, what in the world? Okay, so that is part of our life. And that's part of what makes principals maybe talk about the workload. Okay, now, at the same time, so while I'm arguing that we do have plenty to do, there is a way forward in terms of what we are to do, and that is clarifying expectations. If there is too much, there is a process by which we can work this out. I believe that you can work about anything out if you're willing to talk and bring clarity to situations. Okay, so I have talked to so many school principals who are unsure of where the buck actually stops. Who makes the call? Okay? That is an emotional weight that is not easy to bear. Can I just, if you're a board member, can you just hear me say that? Mm-hmm. That is hard for us to know. In my case, it is simplified because the buck stops with me. I mean, I'm accountable, but I deal with it. It's my problem. It's your baby. That's why we hired you. You better take care of it. We're here to support you, but we are expecting you to deal with that, which on the one hand is a lot of responsibility, right? And by the way, principals sometimes want it both ways. They want to know the buck stops with them, but they don't want the responsibility of making the hard decisions. Well, you can't have it both, okay? Now, there's some mutual things that can happen. We can figure out what to do in situations. But what I want to point out here is that this unclear idea of where does the buck actually stop? What is my chain of command? Brings emotional weight that is very difficult to bear. You don't know where you're encroaching on the board's responsibility. You don't want to just do it for them, but you need something needs to happen. We don't know if it's our job. Should I? Shouldn't I? If I do it, will it be sort of like being insubordinate? There's these questions. And the issue of how teachers relate to the school principal. That is a really big deal, folks. Who do teachers go to when there's a problem? Okay, I said in the general session that over half of the problems, I feel, can be solved at a more structural level with clarity. Okay? It's actually higher than that, in my opinion, by a shot. Okay? So if I could say this, the issue of how teachers relate to the principal is an issue of clarity that is often missing, and you need to figure that out. There's a problem. Who goes to who? If you're a board member, do you listen to a parent that comes to you with a complaint? Do you? You're asking under what circumstances, right? Yes, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked it. If a parent comes and says, you know, I just can't believe that Miss Byler, this and this, the board member's his first instinct should be to say, hang on one second. Did you talk to the teacher about that? Oh, you didn't. Oh, I'm sorry, I have to go there first. And if you have any more problems, you talk to Mr. Miller about that. And then if you still have issues, you may come to me. Every board member in your school should operate that way, in my opinion. Now, unless you have a structure that's very different, and it's clear it should be different, that no matter what, additional board members around the situation that aren't in the direct chain of command, you can destroy what's being built by listening to complaints. But sometimes that happens because we're not clear about who does what under what circumstances. Now, let me say this. As the school leader, I should be held accountable for what I do as principal. Absolutely. And I would expect a parent to go to the school board. Is it any member or is it chairman? Who is it, by the way? Is that clarified? Who do you go to? Okay, that should be clarified. If they have come to me and I have not adequately resolved the issue or I have not listened to them, they have an obligation to go to you as a board. Absolutely. You have an obligation to go to the board. I have not done my work and I'm being held accountable. That's appropriate. So that's an area that I would really encourage you to think carefully about, is the whole staff, personnel, people component of your work as a principal. The most important part of your school are the people. So to make that clear makes the most sense to me. Now, The one more thing I just say here is that many times principals are unsure. We have this vague sense that we're not really doing our job. Okay? That vague sense is because we're vague about what the job is. So there is a way forward. But here's what happens in the meantime. We deal with the urgent, not with the important. That's the problem with this. So we think we should be doing something over here, not sure whether or not we should, and to what extent, and is it my job or isn't it? And so then the crisis hits. And you know what? You go right after the crisis. Which may not be the most important. We have to address a crisis, but maybe not the most important thing to do in the moment. Okay? So my thesis is this. A job description is vital to the health and sustainability of the school and is the responsibility of the principal to assist in bringing clarity to his own work. Say that again. A job description is vital to the health and sustainability of a school and is the job description is the responsibility of the principal to assist in bringing clarity to his work. Now, you're wondering then, where's the chairman? And here's why I'm saying this. Your chairman actually is mucking out stalls and installing conduit and putting the brick facade on out there. How's he supposed to actually know everything you do? Okay? The truth is, I've yet to find a chairman who didn't want to work on these issues. Principals need to be in a position, a relational position with their chairman, or to say, can we bring some clarity to this? If I brought you a proposal for a list of what I'm doing, what I'm not doing, and what I think I should be doing, and all of that, could we work on that as a board? I don't know of a chairman that would say, oh, that's a terrible idea. Forget it. Because you're doing the hard work. And I'm asking principals to do the hard work. I'm saying it's your job. Now, if you're in a big evangelical school, that would not be the case. They've got that finely tuned machine. But we are farmers and workers and this kind of thing. And we're not that. And so we need to think about producing our own job descriptions. Now, I'd like to just offer four, before we get into these handouts, I'd like to offer four things that are not going to be in your job description, probably. They might be, but that are so nebulous you don't really know whether or not you're doing them, but it is part and parcel and heart and soul of what you should be doing. Okay? There's four things. I kind of ran out of space to use the board, but I'll just tell you what they are. Keeper of the culture. Your job as a principal is to work at the culture question all the time. Okay? What is the climate? What is contributing to how our students feel? What they're doing? How they think? What they believe? What's contributing to all this? What's going on in the school? What's making us get better? What's making us get worse? Why are students unhappy? What's going on? We're constantly looking at the culture of the school. I don't know how you put that in a job description. I mean, you could say, keeper of the culture, but how do you get held accountable for that? I'm not sure. We know it's not there. Or it's bad culture. I don't know how you do that. I'm saying, heart and soul, you're always evaluating the culture of your school. Secondly, part of your job description is submit. Submission. Let's just get the... Okay, so you know what? School principals actually like running stuff. Actually, for the most part. Actually like making things happen. If you're a teacher, you're pretty independent. Trust me, I've worked with them for a long time. They like their own little domains in their classrooms. They're very good at what they do. Telling 25 little children what to do all every minute of the day for 6 hours long. That's pretty amazing. Which has a little liability attached to it, you know that. And sometimes we get to running things, making things work, and we forget that we are under. Principals are under the board. The board is over you. They have the final word. So the job description from your from your board will not probably include be submissive. I'm pretty sure. That wouldn't go over very well, would it now? But it's true. And if it's not there, you're in trouble. Okay? It has to be a mutual. And I'm going to say there's place for mutual submission like we talk about in church life. But the bottom line is you're under authority. So you must, everything you do in your job description needs to come out of a position of I'm under the board. Okay, the third word is the vision. You have to carry the vision. Now, I also believe that the school board needs to carry the vision. But the person with the boots on the ground in the school has to be the guy saying, this matters. This is why it's important. This is why we're doing this. This is why we should change. This is it. The vision question, we cannot expect boards to carry the whole way. Now, boards, you thought I was going to let you off there. Mm-hmm. It's part of your job description, too. Okay, that has to be carried mutually. What I find is really beautiful when a board has vision that kind of rubs off on the principal who carries that vision forward. It's best when it's gotten from the top, okay? But it has to be carried in a day-to-day way. I don't know how you put that in a job description. You know, had vision. Do you, don't you? I don't know. How do you write it? Okay, so that question, though, is huge. If your students and your parents feel like this school is a dead-end street, it will look like a dead-end street, and you're going to struggle. Okay, so we have to work at the vision question. So that's part and parcel what your work is. Fourthly is heart. I'm not sure how that's all different from vision. Okay, exactly. But my concern is this. Not only do we have a vision for where we want the school to go, we also have a heart, an emotion, a something about what we do. We care about it. Look, farming's hard work right now. I doubt there's hardly any farmers in this. I don't know how many farmers are in here. How many farmers are in here? Okay, half a dozen, eight, good. Now, by the way, it's hard work, right? It's kind of tough to make a living right now, depending on what you're doing, depending on what field you're in. Y'all awake, I'm glad to hear it. Depending on what you're in, it's tough. Don't milk it too far. I get egg on my face, won't I? Yolk is easy to burn. One thing's about principals, they're all happy people. You have to have a vision, a heart for what you're doing. You have to have a heart for what you're doing if you're going to work that hard on a farm. Right? You have to love what you do. If you are in school to put in time, it's the wrong occupation. Okay, so you need heart. But I don't know how to put heart into a job description. There needs to be the emotional tie-in to what we're doing. That we care about something bigger than ourselves that does matter 50 years from now. Okay? I've talked too much already. I thought I might do that. I was trying not to. Those are the four things I just want to offer as essentials. They're a part of your job, whether or not you write it in, because I don't know how you write it in. But I think they're fundamental to leading a school well. You need those four things. Keep with the culture, submission to your board, vision and heart. There's probably more things we could include there. Now, what I'd like to do then is, you all know the theories anyway, right? So I'd like to, we're just going to have to do this kind of slipshod, I'm afraid. And I don't know how we're going to, you mind just finding a way to get that CD? I'm giving you can I have one of those too? That was not bright, thank you. Oops, sorry. So I've given you a handout here. What I found is that there are some things we could do to get there. So you have a job description, or you don't have a job description, or you wish you had one, or you have one and it should be reviewed. I'd like to help us think a little bit about writing your own job description. If you're a board member, I think this, to me, it looks like you would apply, okay? So if you're a board member, I think this can work. Do we have enough copies to go around? I made 50.
There's more than that here.
Oh, man.
Sure, if you can, I guess.
I made 50 copies, according to my copy. All right, well, it's not that, how many of you don't have one? A little back row there. Oh, I am extraordinarily sorry. If you see me later, I'll grab you one or email you one. It's really not that, I can actually show you what's going on here. It's not that complicated a thing here, folks. At the top of this, here is a way that I've worked one-on-one with some people, thinking through your job description. So write your own job description using these questions as a springboard for your own thinking. So I'm actually trying to give you a little bit of a tool. How can you get to a job description? Well, first of all, what is it that you currently do? Well, second question is, what ought you to do that you currently do that you do not currently do because of inadequate time? So in other words, you're supposed to do it, but you're out of time. So what is it that you actually do? What are you supposed to do but don't get done? And then what should you be expected to do that you're not being asked to do at all? In other words, the board never asked you to do this area, but you really feel like a principal should do it. Just they've never asked that, so you stay quiet so you don't have to do that too. You already have a long list of things you should do, but don't have time for. And the fourth is, what are areas you're uncertain about? Okay, now, if you were to flip the page then, it's just very simple. At the top of this is four categories. Currently do, supposed to do, no time, someone should do, and gray areas. Things that are falling through the cracks. Someone should do it, but no one is. And then I have categories. We'll talk about the categories in a moment. So, this is a way for you just to start to define. What make a mental list. Start with Monday. What do I do Monday? Oh, I lead my staff in a 10-minute opening for the week. And we pray together, and we talk together, make sure we're on the same page for the week. Lead staff meetings. If that's your job description, unless your chairman does it or whatever, but I'm saying somebody needs to be doing these things. And you think your way through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then you look at the calendar and you break it down. Who organizes your parent-teacher fellowship? Who chairs the parent-teacher fellowship? Are you always trying to figure out who's supposed to do that, or is it just clear who does it? Who organizes your field events? Who organizes the field trips? Who makes the calls? Who's doing what? So you look at your calendar and you say, well, who does these things? It's really not that complicated to get this figured out. But I think it is a helpful exercise to actually sit and think a half hour, what I do, what I'm supposed to do, I know, but I just don't get it done. What I don't do, and the board doesn't do, and it should be done. Okay? And then, the last category is, where is there just no clarity? Where are we always asking the same questions? You know, those same questions get really tiring and laborious to deal with? We're always trying to figure out, well, who does this and who does this? Just figure it out. Write it down. Now you're good to go. Okay, in addition, you might want to consider the following as you think about your role in the school. Where does the buck stop? Are there areas which it is clear who is responsible, others not? Who do you think should do the gray areas? So then think about your role, not just what you do, but your role. Where does the buck stop? What areas are you the endpoint? Always under authority as principal, are you the endpoint? Think of the chain of command. The authority of the board versus the chairman versus the administrator versus the principal depends on the way you're designed. And I don't know how you're designed, right? So you have to think that through. So there are those four categories to consider. Now, by the way, I want to say this. I am pro the board, every board member office having a job description. Like, what is the chairman supposed to do? What's his job? What is the secretary's job? And what are the ways in which these minutes are to be filed? Is it digital? Is it in the cloud? Where is it? What's going on? Secretary, treasurer, what's the vice chair? Everyone knows what they are to do when they have a particular office on the board. Okay, so I'm for that as well. But think through whether, no matter what your structures, you could, instead of principal, something you may want to put in lead teacher. That's fine. But whatever your categories are, what, who does what? Where does your buck stop? Then how do teachers relate? How are they accountable to you as principal? And it's just, I'm back to that staffing question. I think that's so important. Who do your staff talk to when there's a problem? I already declared myself earlier that I don't think it's okay to bypass a principal that's boots on the ground in the school. Like, I think you should restructure to have a better chain of command there then. And I see this all the time. The illustration I gave is one of many schools that are functioning out of an unclear a picture of what you do with staff. Okay? Sure, you don't even have to sneak in here. You just walk in here, it's fine. Okay, so you need to step back one step further, and as principal, what is my relationship to my board? So who makes the agenda? Okay, so think about some other questions. Who makes the agenda for the board meetings? Who does that? Who does that in your school? Tell me.
Chairman with the principal.
What do you think? How do you think the chairman should solely on his own figure out what the agenda is for the board meeting? Okay, how do you think you should do it with the principal? Okay, and how do you actually do that? I think it's really important. I think the chairman, the principal need a connection. I know when I started being a principal 20-some years ago, and one of the things that I learned pretty quickly is that I went out for breakfast with our bishop, whose son is right here. I went out for breakfast with my bishop every month, and went out with my chairman every month, Saturday mornings. I found that connection extraordinarily helpful. It was accountability, direct accountability, and it allowed us to work on things in the school in a low-key way. What's my job to work out? What should the chairman bring to the board? We worked on the agendas together. It was such a helpful relationship. I think that's ideal, I'll be real honest. Now, it wasn't because I knew what I was doing. It's because some others, like my bishop and my chairman, knew that we should meet, which is why we did that. And then I learned, oh, yeah, that's a really great idea. But I was too young to know that initially, right? I didn't realize how important that really was. I'm encouraging us to think about how we set our agendas. That should be in someone's job description. But who helps clarify that? The principal, I'm going to argue, should always be a part of that discussion. Are you expected to be in board meetings? How many of you principals sit in the whole board meeting? Except for executive session. Okay? How many principals never show up at a board meeting? Praise the Lord. 10 years ago, we would have had a number of you. And folks, I don't know what a board talks about if the principal isn't there.
Principal.
You're smoking. I'm feeling better now. Okay.
That's good. Great.
So, okay, we'll keep going. Does the principal help when they're interviewing new teachers? And I think ideally they should be there. You're going to work with that person. They don't make the call. The board hires, fires, but, okay, you're going to work with them on a daily basis. You should know. You'll have questions to ask. The board won't know to ask, maybe. Make this a mutually satisfying relationship. You're not over the board. You're not making the final call, but you're there. Are you expected to represent your staff to the board? What are you expected to tell your staff the decisions of the board? Do you communicate? Is it two-way communication? Is that my job? If that is, I should have it as part of my job. I make a list when I'm in meetings about things I need to tell my staff so that I can communicate clearly. Here's what the board is saying. We decided to make a policy this way, and here's why we made the policy, and here's five reasons the board gave. Okay? When you have an issue to resolve, who do you reach out to? Who's your go-to person? That affects job description. When a decision regarding a student or a parent is made, who is usually responsible to notify the appropriate parties? You see, these are all parts of a principal job, but who does this? Write it down. Communicate it broadly. And we will greatly minimize the consistent niggling issues that we seem to face in our schools. I care about the flourishing of the school. And it just seems like this is a way to get there. All right, now, very quickly. Oh, man, I did not plan well. I'm sorry. You're supposed to be talking. And here I am talking.
Relax.
I'm going to bend out of shape pretty soon if I'm not careful because. All right, so in this next section here, I have six categories. You first think about your relationship to your board. And then from out of that, we look at what is my job in relation to personnel? What is my job in relation to instructional and the academic side of the school? Who orders curriculum? Who chooses curriculum? What's the process to get curriculum shifts in your school? Who oversees your teachers? Who evaluates your teachers? Is it principal? Chairman? Whole school board? Is there an annual review? Isn't there? Does it matter? These are all places to put this. Relationships. Think about your relationships. I'll give you some examples of that after here. Administration and management, the managerial side. So, are you supposed to put out a weekly letter to your families, or a monthly letter, or a quarterly letter? What's the expectation? Those are management and administrative issues. Who orders janitorial supplies? That's administrative. Who leads staff meetings? Administrative. Okay, financial. Some principals need to also write the checks. But I don't need to, but that is the truth for quite a few schools, actually, that they have to be responsible for the budget as well. But who makes the budget? With whom? Treasurer makes that on his own, brings it to the school, or does the treasurer and the principal work together on that? Job description. Who does what? What's the process? Clarify. And then building and maintenance. Who changes your light bulbs? Who does? You? Someone else. And by the way, folks, if you're a principal and your job is to change light bulbs, I'm going to give an example. One of our principals, that's his job, is change light bulbs. It's right in his job description, change light bulbs. Now, that doesn't mean you have to actually change the light bulbs. Did you know that? You could also teach your 12th graders to change light bulbs. But you're seeing to it that it gets done. So at the end of the day, where's the buck stop in all these areas? So now, what I will do, I guess I don't have enough. So I don't know, I will gladly just email you this if that is better. Just kind of get those around. Can you help me out again? Got a good man here. There's two in there.
Start in the back. In the back this time.
So I gave you some samples. Time to make advance. I gave you some samples here. I took out the school's name. I tried to. The stars mean there was a name in there. So it's real school. Real school. All of these. And so you can see all kinds of different categories, but I thought this might be helpful. I don't hardly know of any principal's job description that came ex nihilo, out of nothing. We all beg, borrow, and steal. So here's a sample. It might just help you get started, okay? Might just help you get started. Here's what I'll do, by the way, before I forget. If you email me at this email address,
There's one that's not stable. You know, that's a stable one.
No.
That
says
board. Okay.
FPT.org.
If you
want to
email me, I'll send you these two things. Yes.
Is any of this on the dock?
I doubt it. Do you want it to go there?
Who else wants
it? I have
two shoppers left. Put your hand up.
Okay, so anyway, if you want something there, let me know. Okay, go to the second page. This does not have to be sophisticated somehow or complicated. Here's one. There's a general definition, and there's general ongoing responsibilities, and then specific tasks. That includes changing air filters, keeping lights in working order. Okay? Who answers the telephone? Who does the board expect to answer the telephone when it comes from the phone? Who is it?
Secretary.
But it's clarified, right? Secretary has a job description, too. I'm sure. See, these are areas that bring a lot of clarity. Who does what? Okay, who does what? What is the expectation? Because whoever answers the phone is the face of your school. You know this. It's really important who answers that phone and how they answer it and who's going to train that person and how they answer that phone. Okay. And there's more. Okay. So... I just have pages here. I'm sorry about that, but I thought maybe a bit of a dump on job descriptions could just help you be thinking about the areas that you want to consider building your own job descriptions. Very last page, I'll give you a little snapshot of one. It's fairly complicated on the one hand, but I thought this is kind of helpful. In this particular job description, there's a code at the top. This is page 7. Number one is acts. Second was acts and reports to a board or its committees. The third is suggest a counselor to committees, then acts. And A, assist the board or its committees. And D, delegates. So everything in the job description has a corresponding number or letter that says what you do with that job. You act, you delegate, what do you do with it? I thought it was kind of helpful, actually. All right. Questions on this so far?
So how does something like this play into the fact that every year a board member comes off, another one comes on, and you'd like to keep a principal for more than a year?
And do you want to keep a principal more than a year too?
In your tribe anyways.
So it's a good question. I'm going to say something now, but I want you to receive it well. I think, I'm just going to say it once and then you have to do whatever you want to do. One of the issues that principals face and boards face here is the small terms that too many of our boards have. I want to say something here, just because I can, I guess. I recommend 5-year terms. Renewable. Up to 10. And then you can have a year off and you can start all over again. My father-in-law, Steve Burkholder, has been on boards 30 years now in his life. He's a pretty good board member, actually. Understands something about money, often a treasure. But it's his long history that brings so much clarity to some discussions. I don't know. I've been away from the community now for a while, but that is so helpful. I encourage 5-year terms. That addresses some of that question. Now, of course, you have to change bylaws to do that. There's all kinds of understanding issues. It is very difficult to know how to address that when you have a constant rotation. Do you have good ideas for him? You want to ask a question once more? Just restate it.
I guess it just came to me that if you would have a clear job description. Because I think a principal is often, well, what is the future here for me? Uh-huh. Who's the next chairman going to be? What policies is he going to have? What's he going to think is important? And if you can set it down for the next 20 years, that, not saying we'd never change, but you can expect.
Okay.
I don't know.
So let me give one more. This is a bit of an aside then, but I think it addresses your question. I also believe in every school having a handbook. Okay, you need a handbook that may have sections. A board, handbook, how we function as a board, that would maybe include your bylaws, things like this. You have a staff handbook, expectations for your staff, what their job is. You expect them to go to CMTI every year. You expect them to go to, if you're a new hire, you go to CLE training. You have to. Like, that's in the handbook, okay? And then you have a student handbook, which is what most of us give our students, right? Upon enrolling, we have a little staff, a student handbook, I hope. And if not, come talk to me. We need to talk. Because here's what happens. We end up boards spend all their time rehashing the same decisions over and over and over. And our children are too precious to waste that kind of time. So then I recommend that those handbooks get reviewed every 5 years. And I recommend that the principal's job description gets reviewed annually. They actually look at it. And you can, this is simple. If you're a board member here, simple. You give the job description to your principal, and then you say, I want you to go through here and note everything that you are doing or not doing, add anything that you're doing, you know, just go ahead and just mark this thing up. And we bring it back to the board and say, now here's areas that he is doing. Do we want him to do this? Well, it may not be feasible. He doesn't have time. Well, what can we do with the job description to make it better? Let's take this and this out, and let's put that on the vice chairman, and let's put this on the principal. Now you're making conscious decisions that you probably communicate, everyone knows. Annual revision of job description. It doesn't take very long. The principal can do the bulk of the work. Let me give you one other tip here. You want a way to evaluate your principal? You give your teachers the principal's job description and ask them to rate him on each of those areas. Works pretty good. Yes.
We were unsuccessful in moving to the 5-year term.
Okay.
But we put in place an advisory board that has 5 members that are that no limits on their term. And so they're supposed to give the long-term vision and keep things on track.
Okay, so you found kind of a way to bring some of that longevity to it. Good. Mm-hmm.
So I'm an off-site principal. I'd like to hear a little bit about, based off everything you've said so far, sounds amazing, but I work a day job too, and I'm just trying to understand how I can add more value to my job, but doing it off-site.
A number of you can be off-site. And that's actually where it's especially critical that you actually know what your job is and that your staff knows what your job is. Because you will not be able to be at school every day. What do? You show up once or twice a week?
Fortunate, I can.
Yeah. How big is your school?
Next year will be almost 20 students.
Yeah. So right. So you understand that? Small school, that's the way it's going to work, right? For now. If it grows, then that might shift. Okay. So how does an off-site principal bring value? There's more of you around here that are off-site principals. Okay? How do you bring value to the school? And you're going to reflect that in your job description. Anthony?
Just a quick comment. I think some of the culture components of school are really going to be shaped more by the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is such a on-hands component of school that unfortunately the principal really has very limited opportunity there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have staff meeting with your staff? How often?
Every other week.
Okay. And I wouldn't go less than that.
If there's an app on the stick.
Okay. All right, he's there already. That is one way to shape that culture, is by staying very closely. The best thing you can do to add value, in my opinion, is to make sure that you are close to your staff and shape that, because that's what's shaping the culture of school. If there's one thing I just beg of off-site principals, just stay tuned in to your staff. Just help them, grow them, work with them. That's who's the difference maker.
I've found I'm off-site as well, but one of the important things, it's definitely a disadvantage, but going through and getting into those classrooms under the session, since you're not a responsibility, you have an opportunity to visit all classrooms, and I think you can learn a lot in a short time. We have little windows into our classrooms are extremely valuable principal windows that you can observe students that are totally unaware that you're there. Mm-hmm. And then I like going in and just let the students know who I am, look at their work and say, you're doing a good job. Or because when the teacher comes back to you and says, we're having a struggle with this student, it's hard for me to get mind around it unless I actually get in there and
see it for yourself.
See it for myself.
Yeah.
There's almost no substitute for that.
So and I think that's very good. And really, we're probably all going to say the ideal is going to move us toward having an on-site principal as much as possible. Whether it's a day, a week, or 2 days. But in the meantime, it's not going to be the way it's going to be in some of our situations. But if we're careful and thoughtful, what do we really want this person to do, then we do maximize that person. And when you're off-site, let me say this, there's often more confusion. So when you have an off-site principal, you should make sure you have a lead teacher designated. Who's the lead? If there's an injury, who do you go to? If there's a crisis, who do you go to? That needs to be appointed, and all staff need to understand that. So if you have three teachers in the school, who's the lead? And that person is the one that contacts the off-site principal. See, those are all parts of the job description that clarify, what do I do when I'm in duress? What happens in this situation? Clarify. That's excellent. Folks, we're out of time. Let me just say just a thing or two here in the FAQ section. How do you train in a new principal? You get a new principal, what do you do with this guy? Let me just say this, that I do think that walking through expectations that come from a job description is one of your most effective ways of communicating with that new person. Here's what your job looks like. So really, the job description is one of the ways to hire, on the basis upon which you hire and fire and grow a principal. That job description. If you have an annual principal, I really do suggest, if you have a resident principal, one who's on site, do an annual review and use the job description as at least every other year to determine how that's going. Your principal will thank you. I mean, if he doesn't, maybe he needs to grow. It's just helpful to hear. I know where I'm falling on the job. My staff let me know. Through a little survey. It's good for me. The other thing about job descriptions, and that's one of the things I spotted right away, is that job descriptions are often not living documents. They're dead skeletal remains in a drawer somewhere. That's why you have to have a regular habit of updating those. To where it actually means something. And I found over the years that my job has changed over the years. It really has. And so if I realize we haven't had to do this for a long time, let's remove it. It's not even relevant. But I am spending a lot of time doing this. Let's clarify it. That's when it helps you the most. Okay? If you would like to move forward, if you are a school principal and your board does not want you to do or does not see the need for job description, what do? You submit. I sort of point that out. You may not survive either. I don't know. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's what I hear from the principals. Here's what I want to say. There's a way forward. Communicate. Talk to your chairman. Offer to do the hard work. There is a way to get this done. And there are many schools that do not have a job description for the principal or their lead teacher or whatever. And let's be the kind of people that can work in submission with those over us to help get there. Boards want clarity too. They don't always know what their job is. And they wonder, am I doing enough? That's because they don't have their own job description. Now, principals maybe can't help too much with that. Maybe they can, but the board needs to do their own work. I'm really encouraging you to do the hard work. And part of that hard work, it is not flashy and fun. But there's nothing scintillating and enjoyable about reading your job description, evaluating it, thinking about what's got to change. It is not exciting. but it's necessary. Make that into an annual rhythm. I really encourage you. Clarity. Your school's health depends on it. A job description, I'll just say this. A job description is a gift. A job description is accountability. There's no hiding with a job description. Okay? Can't just say, well, I'm too busy. Busy about what? What part of your job description makes you too busy? You see? Job descriptions are helpful. They clarify. It also keeps things from becoming personal between a board and a principal. We just don't like how I'm doing this. No. This is the job description. This is the job. The principals can get a little bit edgy with this stuff. If you have a job description that's agreed upon, you have solved so many interpersonal issues. Okay? We'll have to stop there. I apologize. I'm around. I'm going to go take a nap. I'll be back. And then I'm happy to talk more with any of you. I would have loved to have. I had other intentions here. But hopefully the tools I gave you a little bit, ways to think about it, categories, and maybe jumpstart a little something. That's what I care about. Let's pray, and then we'll go for lunch.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.